Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio. These days, it seems you can't go anywhere to escape conspiracy theories. Log on to any social media platform and odds are you're going to discover someone's tinfoil hat ideas. So we started wondering about the history of conspiracy theories, which led us to a guy named Milton William Cooper, who published a book called Behold a Pale Horse in 1991. Pale Horse is Cooper's collection of conspiracy theories. It's somewhat of a handbook in certain circles and is one of the most popular books among prisoners in the American penitentiary system. So says journalist Mark Jacobson. He's the author of Pale Horse Rider, William Cooper, The Rise of Conspiracy, and The Fall of Trust in America. Jacobson discusses the strange bedfellows that make up Pale Horse's audience, including rapper Old Dirty Bastard of the Wu-Tang Clan Collective. He was a big Bill Cooper fan.
The Old Dirty Bastard connection is the thing that really is fascinating, because Bill Cooper, that book, Behold a Pale Horse, became in the middle 1990s and still to this day one of the most read books in the prison system of America, especially on the East Coast.
Why do you think that is?
You know, when you're reading that somebody's out to get you and every single one of these little things that is screwing up your life is really being planned by some kind of force that's determined to get you, this is something that means something to people and that feel like they're being oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the rappers, I mean, every rapper that you've ever heard of, I'm sure, from the early 1990s on, I mean, this is everybody from Tupac Shakur and the Wu-Tangs and everybody,
yeah,
has either quoted or mentioned Bill Cooper in his book, either in their raps or in the interviews that they gave. The most important thing that I've heard was told to me by Old Dirty Bastard himself. Several years later, I talked to him. I was working for New York Magazine. I went and interviewed him. It was like shortly before his death. And I reminded him of this incident when I had seen him. He said, oh, yeah, Bill Cooper. Yeah, I remember Bill Cooper. You know what Bill Cooper does? In this world, everybody's out to screw you, you know? And Bill Cooper, he tells you who's doing it. Hmm. You know, and when you're somebody like me, that's very valuable information.
Yeah.
So that was, that kind of summed it up for me. And I talked to guys like Prodigy, who was in a band called Mobb Deep, who's a very famous rap group from around here. And, you know, I asked him, is it true that you read Behold a Pale Horse 4 times? Is that really true? He said, no, that's not true. I read it 6 times. So he said, I wasn't going to go up there and talk to the people unless I had that right and exact, which is a 5%er phrase, if you know what I'm talking about.
I do, yeah.
For the 5%ers, they're a group of kind of black, they call the poor righteous teachers. You know, many rappers consider themselves either 5%ers or sympathizers with this movement. They're really the people that have carried Bill Cooper forward.
Like William Cooper, who told you the pale horse is the future.
My audience, surprisingly enough, is basically right libertarians and hip-hop people.
Just getting back to his book, Behold a Pale Horse, for a moment, didn't in that book Cooper actually predict school shootings?
He does. It was actually kind of smart the way he put it. He said the excessive prescription of drugs like Ritalin and Adderall and stuff like that to progressively younger and younger children is going to produce this school shootings.
Behold a Pale Horse was published 8 years before Columbine.
Yeah, it was before Columbine. I mean, that's the thing about Bill Cooper. He's half a prophet and he's half a huckster. You know, he's half this kind of like apocalyptic belief system about what's going to happen in the near future, and P.T. Barnum. I call him the P.T. Barnum of dread. He's so articulate about this, and he's so kind of knowing about it. That's the difference between him and somebody like Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones is, you know, he's got a gimmick, and he's pushing it. Bill Cooper isn't, for all the fibs and all kinds of stuff he told about his personal life and stuff like that, he was an honest guy. You know, he basically told you what he thought. He would occasionally push certain things if he knew that they were popular because he's trying to make a living, you know, on this radio show.
But Cooper was fascinated by Stanley Kubrick's film 2001: A Space Odyssey, and he actually said that it was the key to everything that has ever happened in the history of man, everything that's happening now, and all that was going to happen in the future. Can you explain what Cooper was talking about?
I think that's a mild overstatement, but not completely. Cooper was obsessed with trying to figure out things he couldn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
He would work on it and work on it and work on it until he came up with a theory that he was satisfied with. It goes along with his famous comment about do your own research, read everything, believe nothing, until you can prove it with your own research. So the idea, like, he sees 2001, and everybody who saw 2001 at that time, including myself, just walked out of the theater, like, completely blown away, as they say. You know, he thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and came up with, I think, is really maybe his most kind of fascinating theory about things. He said that the beginning sequence of 2001 with the monkeys or whatever this, the Neo men or whatever they are, and the monolith is really a metaphor for the Garden of Eden story. Because in the Garden of Eden, what God tells Adam and Eve is you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So when the monolith comes down and sits there, and is sitting there, and the monkeys are kind of like, ooh, looking around, trying to figure out what it is. And then one of them, he touches it. Whatever it is that creates consciousness in human beings, it clicks over at that moment. As soon as he touches the monolith. And then, of course, in Cooper's version, the first thing he does is kill one of his fellow species members. That is the kind of beginning of mankind on a downward track, because he's always seeing things in terms of good and evil. So if the monolith is really planted there by, say, for lack of a better term, the devil, he traces this idea of the nature of evil.
He hosted a radio show which he broadcast from 92 until November of 2001. It was called The Hour of the Time, and it has what you say is one of the most arresting sign-ons. Can you walk us through the opening of The Hour of the Time, how it starts?
I think you should just play it. I mean, I'll never be able to give it justice. And it says, lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind. And then you hear this screaming and yelling, and, like, you know, it's like the time has come. You didn't listen to what I told you to do, which is, like, you know, be a mental prepper. Not necessarily that you're supposed to get all this stuff in your basement and do all this stuff like that, but you're supposed to be prepared to understand what's about to happen. That's what Bill Cooper wants to tell you. And if you're not listening to him, you know, he feels like, well, just screw you. You know, I'm telling you what you need to know. And if you don't bother to listen to me, it's your own fault.
And I'm telling you, be prepared for a major attack. But it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order who once again want to take the guns and the freedom away from the American people, because we're the only ones left in the world who can oppose the destruction of freedom in the world and the implementation of a one-world totalitarian socialist government, and that is the goal. And whatever is going to happen that they're going to blame on Osama bin Laden, don't you even believe it.
Cooper predicted 9/11. It was just a few months later that he was killed, November 5th, 2001. Can you talk about that, what happened?
The part of Bill Cooper legend, which I like to call it, is that he predicts 9/11 and they killed him for it.
Do you believe that, though?
I believe some of it, yeah. I mean, I'm a Bill Cooper fan. You know, I'm on his side, kind of, even though he said a lot of outrageous things, you know. The things that his followers say and the stuff that he said are not necessarily the same thing, you know.
So take me back to November 5th, 2001, the last day of Bill Cooper's life.
The legend is the feds came up there and shot Bill Cooper dead. But that's not really the case. I mean, most people who know anything about it don't say that, but that's the legend. And actually, Bill Cooper was not shot dead by the federal FBI or anything like that. I mean, he was indeed a tax cheat or if you want to call it, they claimed he owes taxes. He claimed he didn't have to pay taxes. So there was a federal warrant out for his arrest. So the feds decided that it wasn't worth it to go up there and bat him because Cooper lived on top of a hill. What happens is the Apache County Sheriff's Office is another jurisdictional police force that is in this area. They go up there. Well, what they're going to do is play a lot of loud music and have Cooper come out of his house to chase him away, and then they're going to pinch him. But Cooper doesn't really play ball that way. He comes down in his truck as opposed to on foot. They, I think, bungle the entire thing. And the whole idea is not to let Cooper back into his house because then he's going to supposedly be shooting at them and it's going to be some awful situation. So Cooper gets back up to his house and they're not going to let him get back in. Two officers approach him. Cooper, he's carrying a .38, and he turns around, and this is in dispute. You know, it's what the police report says, is that Cooper turns around and shoots one of the officers twice in the head, and then the other officer fires on Cooper and kills him. So that's what happened to Bill Cooper. The thing about it was after he had been saying, you'll see, they're going to come up here and shoot me dead on my front doorstep at midnight. He'd been saying that many times, so they did come up there, and they shot him dead on his front doorstep, and it was like 10 minutes after 12, so he missed by 10 minutes.
If Cooper were still alive, what do you think he would make of the current political situation here in the U.S.?
That's an interesting question, I think. I think that Cooper would be just appalled by what's happened. I mean, he's a constitutionalist. He's a believer in the Supreme Court is one of these kind of things that you have to have faith in, and it's got to represent everybody, and it's not supposed to be political. If Bill Cooper was still alive, at least off everything I've heard from him, I think that he would feel that this was a kind of logical progression of what he considered to be the secret hand of evil that was moving along to put these people who really didn't deserve it into power, and they would kind of roll the ball further down the road towards fascism. And I don't know. That's just my own personal opinion, but... People can argue with me about it, but I mean, that's the way I think.
Mark Jacobson is a journalist and the author of Pale Horse Rider, William Cooper, The Rise of Conspiracy and the Fall of Trust in America. Find out more about Mark and William Cooper at WPR.org/beta.
I'm the sort of person who gets to some fantastic place and then I look at the horizon and I want to get further towards the horizon. I can't sit still, really.
Chris Difford, the co-founder of the British band Squeeze, joins us. Plus, a rock and roll thought experiment. That's coming up on Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.